now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
A very good evening to you. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Tara Fraser. And welcome to Shout Out. Today on the show,
Edson Button's here. Catching up with him again.
And our queer planet.
Steph's been finding out more about the Edinburgh Fringe Festival show. Well, try saying that when you've had a drink. All that and more today, right here on Shout Out. Oh, you're not on, that's why I...
Flipping out.
Sorry.
I really gave it the all then. Gosh. Normally I'm so quiet and humble.
You?
Yeah.
Humble? Oh. Quiet?
It's been a few weeks. I felt like I had to make
a lot
up
of
it.
To build up.
Yeah. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. And of course, it's kind of nice because it's such a lovely hot day out there.
We finally
got summer. It's only 4 weeks till September and it all goes again. So.
me and my Dyson fan were best friends today at an ice pack.
I bet. Yes.
I'm just not good in heat.
No, a lot of people aren't.
What do you do with an ice pack then with a fan?
I don't know if I can say it on air. I literally put it in my pants.
Oh, I thought you meant
front and back.
I thought you put it in the fan.
No, I cannot cool down. I cannot regulate my temperature. I'm either like really cold or really warm. So, yeah, ice packs for the win. And I have
Except like most British people, we're really good at moaning about being too hot or too cold.
Yeah, I'm convinced it's premenopausal, but you know, I think I just can't regulate the heat because I'm never in it. I don't see the sun often enough to adjust it throughout the years. I just look at it and burn.
New vitamin D.
Pretty much. But yeah, no, the sunshine is wonderful.
It's not, and it's lasting this weekend as well, I believe. Although there was a huge, great downpour last night.
A little
yes.
bit. It wasn't.
Yeah. Apparently, we are having thunderstorms as well.
Yeah, but for the most part, it's going to be a nice weekend. A little bit cooler as well, you might be pleased to hear.
That yes. would be nice.
I was thinking that about your tongue nice. Twister and my how tongue, much oh. harder we could make that. And I was thinking, if you're at the Fringe on a Friday, you could have, I'm having fun at the Fringe on a Friday.
Finding out about the Fringe
Finding
Festival
out about the Fringe
show.
Festival on a Friday. Fun. Such fun.
So, I mean, I have to admit, I don't think I've ever had as many bad tongue twisters as Terry's had in the news sometimes.
No. Well, it's funny because...
I can't think of any of them off the top of my head, but you've had some real tongue twisters.
Over
sometimes.
The years, yeah. we have had a few, yeah.
Can you think of any?
I can't. No. but I know we have for
the listeners, when we get there, correct me if I'm wrong, I think you still do it, you end up talking about how you pronounce the things beforehand to try and make sure we say it right on the radio.
Phonetically.
And it still kind of throw you, can't it?
No, I have to write everything phonetically. Terry's very good at helping me. Anything that is even moderately confusing to me, I write at the side in the way that I hear
two
it.
Syllables a plus.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah. True, though.
Anyway, I'm very pleased to say, you come back to say hello to us, is the lovely Edson Button. Burton, sorry, I'm saying that wrong, aren't I?
That's there we go. All right.
How are you, mate? It's lovely
I
to have you back
maybe
again.
Maybe I'm like Benjamin Button. I'm going the other way.
Maybe.
Well, the sun has brought this glow to my skin and I'm looking 10 years younger.
Oh, well, I wish you work like that. It'd be really nice,
wouldn't it?
I'd look 18 in the summer.
Most of us just sort
your mass is not good.
I think we just crinkle up instead and look more prune-like.
So, how have you been? I haven't spoke to you for a while.
I've been busy.
I hear one of your events is going to come to a bit of an end.
Well, one of my hats. So I was one of the founders of Kiki Bristol, QTPOC group, social and other activities. And I can't say I've been the most active member in the last 18 months. But yeah, the group decided that it was time to wrap up. That's not to say there might be the odd event, might not still be the odd event, but we just felt that people were really busy. Mm. And I think sometimes you can be a victim, obviously, of your own success. And Kiki began with the idea of being social. But I think what it did is create a visibility and a presence, which meant that, quite understandably, there were lots of other demands, interests, and so on. And actually, as an unfunded group, and also people where they are in their careers and stuff going on, some of us were involved in students moving through graduate careers as well.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it just felt like, oh, should we just bite the bullet rather than, are you not taking part in this thing or not? Constantly being thrown at you.
Yeah, it can be a bit hard when things grow, can't it? Because, you know, you can, like you said, you can become a victim of your own success. They get so big, they need more managing and you need more time and more people and more resource. It's not easy.
People pull in different directions as well. You can find that as well sometimes.
Again, I think I've been in Bristol for a long time and I know that there'd been pockets of cutie pop groups that have met but it's always been fairly fragile. And then Kiki actually began because I think people felt they wanted an alternative to, and this is not meant to sound negative, but you know, cultural idiom, music tastes and so on, experience, sometimes you want a space where all of that feels held and reflected and you can just have a lot of fun. Also, I think Bristol has people that have been born, bred, raised for several generations, have quite a different experience and not necessarily as able to be out as people who come from other parts of the country that don't have family members over the shoulder and or, you know,
we all know that one.
Yeah, faith groups or if you're part of a group and so on. So that was the initial impetus, to be honest, is to create a space where people could come together, safe space. You know, that term can seem overused, but sometimes it's cogent and sharp when you realise the level of risk that you can be exposed to if your inner community is not affirming. And it's, you know, as I say, it's different experiences for different people coming from people new to Bristol. It's a city people migrate into. That includes cutie pop people and people.
I can imagine there'll be a listener or two listening at the moment and won't have heard what cutie pop is. Do you want to
queer quickly? People of colour. Yeah. Sorry, I meant to give that. I was thinking to myself, a note to self going around the corner of my mind. Note to self, come to the fore, say it. Find a pause. Aha, the pause has been given to me by instruction.
But you think you'd be back for the odd event every now and again, do you?
Well, I bumped into some young people who are starting a group and they may well take things on. Queer Vision is doing a great job of putting on events. I think the landscape has changed a lot. The landscape has changed incredibly since Kiki came into existence.
It does evolve rather rapidly.
Mm. What have been some of the biggest changes that you've seen over the last, 8 to 10 years?
I just think there's been a much more general visibility and inclusion of queer people of colour in Bristol's cultural and, when I say cultural community, but also cultural community of people of colour. So the institutions like Carnival and so on have put on events are very much have moved with the times. And, you know, we're in radical times of, looking at the US, looking here, quite a polarised space. But underneath that polarisation, I would say that the dial has still shifted tremendously from when I first came to Bristol. And so even with a night like Don't Tell Your Mother, there's lots of queer people of colour who go to DYTM and other nights. So I think in some ways, Kiki's work, it's not that it's been superseded, it's not that it's still not needed, but I think it's not in the same way, because I think the point has been made. But again, I'm always mindful of the danger of rollback, and I think one never wants to be complacent, that these things don't go backwards if we're not vigilant.
Yeah, I mean, we've always said that with Shout Out. The day that we don't need a show like this because equality is there, is the day we'll be very, very happy.
Yeah.
Sadly, I don't think we'll ever ever see it. I think if you don't keep these things in the
same as safe in the spaces, eye of isn't it? People, we're always going to need safe spaces, I think.
Keep people
inclusive
honest.
Spaces, yeah.
But there's also something else, which is that sometimes you need spaces that are not about safety from discrimination or harm, but actually there's everything has its own character, its own flavor, and sometimes that's easier to experience when there's an ease of common language. So we talk about a commonality of culture. It's just then that actually it means that you can be in a queer space and just there's not a need for translation or explanation. You can be in a black space and there's no need for explanation or so on. It's recognizing that actually sometimes you want that smoothness and ease of being. And so in a way, and also for when we think of, like, you know, people talk about history and culture and arts, and it's very broad brush, and you I get this with Black History Month, and people go like, oh my God, it shouldn't have a Black History Month. Black History is every day of the year. I'm like, yeah, but here's the thing. You only come out during Black History Month. So, and that's okay, because the rest of the year, you're living your life and you can't be bothered. So, actually...
But don't you think it's about just making people aware, though? It's a bit like LGBT History Month, you know? I mean, LGBT history is happening all the time, all year round as well. It's, you know, the aim of these things is to highlight them and put them in...
Do you not think it's the people that get offended are the ones that it's almost for? If they keep getting, you know, that number will reduce with time.
Well, I mean, with Black History Month, Morgan Freeman was very open about absolutely hating it.
Right.
Mm. But Morgan Freeman doesn't need it. That's the problem. Yeah, I mean, he plays God. That's one thing, you know.
Quite a few times.
Yeah. But I guess what I mean by this is, and why that is the analogy, that for when you're part of a community, then you're actually looking at events happening all the time. But having a focus month is so that other people are aware of those events.
Yeah.
But you need to have that constant focus, but you're not really expecting everyone else to take the same level of interest, which, and they don't. So there'll always be a need for a particular focus, a particular group, a particular voice, for shout out to exist for people.
Absolutely agree.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wish we had time to talk to you about it more. We're rapidly running out, but very, very quickly, what are you up to now?
I'm working on an opera, the libretto.
Oh, wow.
Well,
that was not something I was expecting you to say.
Yes!
There we go.
Little Roch in my spare time.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Loved it.
Well, best of luck with it. But you'll have to come back and tell us all about it when you've written it. Perhaps even give us a little bit.
But very quickly to say, I'm writing the words. I've got a wonderful composer, Des Oliver, who is doing the music.
Fantastic.
Cool.
We will bring you back on to have a really good chat about that. Thank you so much.
Well, listen, it's lovely to catch up with you again. As we say, I can't wait to hear some.
Opera.
It took me by surprise. I wasn't expecting that. Anyway, stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. Back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
Edinburgh Fringe is back, and it's so popular every year, especially to our listeners on Shout Out. And I'm sure you must go up there in your thousands, because there's a lot of talent up there and a lot of it very queer. I'm joined by Bicurious George, and they're at the Pleasance Dome in Edinburgh, Wednesday the 31st of July, Monday 26th of August. Now, full details we'll have right at the end of the chat with George. Now, this entails, and I wait for this, dolphin orgies, intersex snails, and gay giraffes. George, I am absolutely intrigued. Tell me more.
Yeah, so the show's called Queer Planet, and it's all about all the queerness we find in the natural world. It's like a sort of parody of a nature documentary with all the bits that they don't put on the BBC. and because the natural world is just absolutely not heterosexual, as much as they would like us to believe it is. And so, yeah, it's just about sort of celebrating that and all the stuff that happens. There's so many more than that. It's, you know, there's flatworms, there's snails, there's seahorses, there's all the animals are in there.
Excellent. That's what we like to hear. Fully inclusive.
Exactly.
Right, George, before we get into more of what you're actually doing in Edinburgh, how did you get into this performance type career? Is it something that's always been in your blood? You've always been showing off at school and getting into plays?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm afraid I was that really annoying kid that was directing an improvised production of Annie in the playground. I went to drama school. I sort of trained as an actor and still do that. I do a lot of Shakespeare. That's where a lot of the genderqueer parts are. But then I was, after I finished drama school and after the pandemic, and I was in a bit of a like creative rut, and I was coming to terms with all the many facets of my queerness at that time. And I did a drag workshop with Soho Theatre. I did, they do like a cabaret and drag lab, which is like a, I think it was a 6-week course in drag. And it just like changed everything, absolutely changed the game. And I've been doing drag ever since then. And this show is kind of, I guess, like a meld of the two worlds. It's me kind of bringing everything I love about the drag cabaret industry into a slightly more theatrical space. Yeah.
Was it very difficult for you to get to the Edinburgh Fringe?
Oh, yeah. yeah, I've been wanting to do Edinburgh Fringe for forever, really. And this is my first time going and bringing a show. It is really hard. It's so expensive. It's so much work. I mean, I've been extremely lucky, and I had some funding and did a tour, and that generated some income. And so we've been able to fund this, but it's so difficult. It's quite an inaccessible space, to be completely honest with you, in terms of finances. So for a lot of like queer and trans people and working class people, it's so hard to take work up there. So I do feel unbelievably lucky to be in a position where I can do so.
Mm. Indeed. Now, tell me a little bit more about the play. Is it, have you got many actors on the stage, or is it pretty much a solo affair?
It's a solo affair, but it's a one person cabaret. So there's lots of me running around and very quickly changing costumes. So to give the illusion that there are many, many, not people as such, but bodies on the stage. but yeah, it's a solo show. And I'm working with the absolutely incredible Liv Ello, who is directing this version of it. Who anyone who was at Fringe last year might remember them from Body Show, or they also directed Cats and Swarm, which are just three gorgeous, stunning queer bits of theatre. So yeah, it's just me on the stage, but there are many voices and many people whose love and care have been put into it, and
that must be something you have to really practice, changing outfits and changing that voice and getting it right every time you go out.
I'm not going to pretend I get it right every time. I once lost my shoes midway through a show at Soho Theatre and had to do the rest of the show with no shoes on. My trousers once fell down halfway through a show and I had to borrow a belt from an audience member. my entire chest fell out once. That was really fun. My dad was in that night. yeah, the quick changes. We're working on it. That's one of the things that I'm trying to make more slick for Edinburgh, because I've had some disasters. But that's all kind of part of the chaos and fun that I love about drag and cabaret, that like the audience are so aware that they are in that moment with you, because everything can happen. Yeah. And lots of things do.
And I guess the thing is, when I know when I'm watching a play or even something on telly or listening on radio and something goes wrong, everyone feels that it makes it real.
Yeah, you sit up in your seat, don't you?
Yeah, and it's like you get a metaphorical hug from the audience, and like it just makes it something special.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's a moment that's shared, that's only between you and that audience, and no other audiences will get that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. unless I keep making the same mistake over and over again, which I try not to do.
Well, like you say, it makes it unique for every audience, doesn't it, George?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Right. Is there anything you have planned once you've done this? I know that this is moving on and you've still got this to focus on. Is there anything you would like to do for the future or you've got in your head at the moment that you can actually share with us? Of course, there's obviously things you can't.
Well, post-Edinburgh, we haven't got any concrete plans yet. I would love to do a full run. I've done lots of short runs in London of the show as it's been developing, but I'd love to get like a proper full run in London and then maybe take it to some more regional venues. I did a small regional tour of it earlier this year, and meeting like the queer communities in towns all over the UK was just like so amazing. So I'd love to do some more of that. And then I'm ready to make the next show, to be honest, which I don't know exactly what that's going to be. It will definitely still be queer animals. It's probably going to focus in more on one animal rather than the broader picture. Keep your eyes peeled for what that turns out to be. I'm excited to find out.
Hey, and our listeners are excited, but also they want to know where to get tickets from and how to follow you on social media. So, George, if you could do the honours, please.
Yeah, absolutely. So on Instagram, I'm at by, as in B-I, .curious.george_drag. And I've got all the links on there. Or you can also find my show on the Pleasance website. And I'm doing two London previews, if anyone is around in London at all, on the 19th and 20th of July at the Seven Dials Playhouse. And in Edinburgh, I'll be at the Ten Dome in Pleasance Dome every single day at 4:15.
You are busy, George.
Yes.
But that's a good thing. You're busy in a good way because you're obviously enjoying it.
I'm absolutely loving it. I'm thrilled.
Excellent. By Curious George. And don't forget, it's called Queer Planet. It's at Edinburgh Fringe. Thank you so much for joining us on Shout Out and Break a Leg.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Commercial radio station Mersey Radio in Liverpool of a row brewing within the LGBTQIA+ community of Merseyside over whether police officers should be permitted to march in uniform in the Pride Parade in Liverpool, a city known for its traditional radicalism and militancy, because during the 1980s the left-wing council was organised by the militant tendency, now separated from the Labour Party and calling itself the Socialist Party of England and Wales. The Liverpool Echo newspaper takes up the story and notes, whilst Pride is one of the most inclusive events of the year, welcoming all regardless of their age, sexuality, gender or race, one factor which may set people apart is what job they do, particularly when that job has an antagonistic history with LGBTQ+ people. Merseyside Police Chief Constable Serena Kennedy said that it was a fantastic opportunity for the force to show its solidarity and support. She told the Liverpool Echo, "Marching in our uniforms is an opportunity for our force to be seen as a visible ally, highlighting our solidarity and support both to our LGBTQ+ community and our colleagues. Inclusion remains one of my force's priorities, and this is because I believe in that the more diverse we become, the greater operational understanding we will develop and the better the service we provide to our communities." However, Paul McGowan, the national chairperson of LGBT+ Socialists and also the co-founder of Reclaim Pride Liverpool, said, "The LGBT+ community has had a troubled past and present with the police. This problem is even worse when we look at the treatment and targeting of LGBT+ people with multiple intersectionalities, such as LGBT+ asylum seekers and refugees, queer, trans and intersex people of colour and more. Inclusivity and diversity, the ability of all sections of the community to participate safely and happily in Pride, has to come before having a presence of the state and corporations," Mr. McGowan said.
And Doctor Who News Online reports that the voice of a hermaphrodite character from the long-running science fiction programme has passed on at the age of 99. Yuzan Churchman worked on 11 episodes of Doctor Who, providing the voice of Alpha Centauri, the hermaphrodite hexapod, who appeared alongside John Pertwee's third Doctor in the two stories set on the medieval planet of Peladon in the early 1970s. She returned to the character in 2017 alongside the 12th Doctor, Peter Capaldi, in Empress of Mars. The character Alpha Centauri is described by one fan site as a diplomat working for the Galactic Federation during important negotiations to admit Peladon, a mineral-rich but politically unstable and primitive society. Yuzan Churchman was best known as one of the earliest soap stars, playing Grace Archer in the BBC radio series The Archers. She made history in September 1955 when 20 million people tuned in as her character was killed in a fire. A spoiler to draw the audience away from the launch night of the UK's second television channel, ITV. Both The Archers, now aired on BBC Radio 4 and the ITV network, survived the drama and continue broadcasting to this day. Born in Sutton Coldfield in the English Midlands, Churchman was a performer by the age of 13, with a regular appearance in BBC Radio's Children's Hour. Radio was her main medium, but she regularly appeared on BBC television in such classic series such as Zed Cars, Crossroads, The Railway Children, Sherlock Holmes and Softly Softly. But for many sci-fi fans, she will remain the excitable, nervous, but fiercely loyal and intelligent friend to the Doctor, the groundbreaking hermaphrodite from space, Alpha Centauri.
Well, in this hot weather, there has been no let up for stories of interest to the LGBTQIA+ communities. Be sure to stay connected with community media through the week for more information and entertainment. And why not check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Ezra Peregrine
and Terry Starr.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout podcast.
In defiance of gravity, the memoirs of a seance master based on a true story with some devilish embellishments. Ezra Montefiore is the greatest psychic to have ever lived. He's a master of seance, telekinesis, and spirit summoning. Eyewitnesses swear he can raise the dead, heal the sick, and levitate 70 feet in the air. He defies all scientific explanations, or so he claims. Saul Boyer joins me now. Saul, tell me some more about the play.
Where to start? Well, first of all, thanks so much for having me. This play, well, it had quite a long gestation, but I have always loved stories of psychics, of seances, of all spooky matter. And I came across this wonderful story of, it's to do with the death of Rasputin is where it kind of kicked off. And I suddenly found all this fascinating detail about how Russia in the early 1900s was completely awash with frauds, psychics, and people claiming they had magical powers, and people who were able to get very, very close to the Russian royal family. And I just thought this is the perfect subject for drama in our sort of post-COVID anxious age.
So Rasputin, so everyone's heard of Rasputin. Are there many people in the cast?
So the cast is three people, and what's quite nice is, I mean, this is Unleash the Llama's sort of fourth venture to Edinburgh, I think, now. And each time we go up, there's always a great interest in stories about seances and the paranormal. I mean, there's some great queer shows that deal with that stuff as well. But, you know, Edinburgh is like, seems to be a place where these sort of themes are dealt with and audiences seem to flock to them. So this was just one of our, you know, we just thought this is the perfect material for Edinburgh. And our cast is really fantastic. I'm joined by Laurel Marks and Lewis Chandler, both really phenomenal actors who play the other two main roles in this sort of love triangle that develops.
Wow. Now, so you say this is your fourth Fringe.
Yes.
So when did you actually get into acting? Were you always dressing up as a kid and always in the school plays?
I was, actually. One of my first roles was as Dracula in the Dracula Spectacular show in my primary school. And I did it complete with Transylvanian accent and high camp sort of ape swirls and everything. So I think, you know, I had the acting bug early. I forced my parents to watch me dress up. I had a dressing up box. And I think not much has changed in the last sort of 31 years. So I'm still flouncing around in various costumes. Yeah.
So do you do a different subject every year you go up to the Fringe?
It's actually been quite wide, Unleash the Llama's repertoire, but I think what we focused on mainly is historical themes, and often themes of untold voices. So in fact, we did not bring it to the Edinburgh Fringe, but our last show, 5 years with the White Man, was a really fascinating co-writing experience and interesting story about an Edwardian barrister, a man from Sierra Leone that came to the UK to, you know, make his fortune. And that dealt with marginalized communities being brought to the fore, but basically these stories being platformed. And that's been something it's something I've been really interested in tackling with Unleash the Llama stories. So each time our stories often veer towards queer themes and historical settings, and marrying those together seems really of the moment, I think. And it's important work because it's important for people to see themselves represented in the past as well, and our ideas of who we are as people in the modern world.
Mm. Is it going to be taken around the rest of the country, or is this specifically for the Fringe?
If we do fabulously successfully, then maybe. But no immediate plans just now. We had a preview run at the King's Head Theatre in London for a week, which was really fantastic. We've had a long-standing relationship with them, and they obviously program lots of fantastic queer narratives. We're really keen to develop the show and see what opportunities come of Edinburgh.
Indeed. Now, how do people get tickets? That's the most important thing.
Well,
warm seats.
tickets are available. So we're playing at Summer Hall from the 1st to the 26th. Our only days off are on the 12th and the 19th. And tickets are available from the Summer Hall website or from the Ed Fringe box office online.
Okay. Now, social media, because obviously people want to follow you just in case you do go on a tour.
Yes.
And for when you start your next project. So how can people follow you?
Well, we're on Instagram. We're Unleash the Llama on Instagram. We've got our website, which is unleashthellama.co.uk. And on Twitter or X, we are at Llama Unleash.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Now, so what's next? Can you share anything with us?
Well, I think for now that we're focusing on this project, but we may have some other things in the cauldron. I can't disclose too much more at this stage.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, Saul, when you've sorted it and you can share, and come to us and we'll have another chat.
We will. Well, that would be fantastic.
Saul Boyer, thank you so much for joining us on Shoutout.
Thanks so much for having us. Cheers.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Laura Mvula, I think that's how you say that, and that's all right.
Great track.
It is a really good
bit
track.
Bit different
that one. Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, it's a real kind of like, you know, out there in your face type.
I
just hit the random button and it picked tracks for me. So.
Is that how you pick?
Well, I do some weeks, yeah.
Very florid.
So, hello, Martin.
Hello, darlings.
So, I haven't spoken to you since. Oh,
I know. But you play a European
BT Radio for you.